pastor, Brother Jim.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to start reading in verse 13. And this is a very appropriate message for this evening. Well, for any day when we want to present the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought a young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked them that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Shall we pray? Father, we're so thankful for the hope and peace we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we're thankful that you just don't love adults. You love everybody, and especially our children. God, we're so thankful that you've blessed our church with so many wonderful kids. Lord, we've learned to love each one of them. And we're thankful that they're part of us and part of our congregation. We pray tonight if there's somebody here without Christ Jesus as Savior, that this would be the night they'd accept Christ as a little child in their heart and be saved. Now bless us as we study together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some years ago, in fact, it has been more than 31 years ago, I brought a message on how to become a child. Now, children have an important part of my personal ministry and the ministry of this church. We've always had an outreach for the kids of the city of Enid, and not only here, but around the world. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior when I was a child. At the age of 9, I allowed Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. Now, I know that I would have accepted Christ earlier, but I wasn't brought to church, and I wasn't given an opportunity to go to church like our children get to go. But somebody loved our family enough that they encouraged us to come to the house of the Lord. And there I learned how much that Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me, that I might have eternal life in heaven. So children are, excellent examples of the attitude and the simple faith that one must have for salvation and for service. And so tonight, as we talk and preach to you, I want to show you the difference between how adults think and how kids think. And now some of you parents are going to say, my kid never thinks. That's not true. In fact, all of the shenanigans that they pull when they're kids, that didn't happen by happen chance. Their little minds were working. And all the people said, amen. I raised 2 boys, and I had 6 sisters. Boy, when it came time to have a family, I said, Lord, give me boys. When you have 6 sisters, you have what? 7 mothers. And so I'm thankful for that, but I'd like to compare tonight just the difference between children and adults. First of all, for an adult, there has to be a change of mind or change in thinking in reference to salvation. Now, you have to remember that when your children and our children come to Bible Baptist Church, they're taught from the cradle roll department up that Jesus Christ loved them, died on the cross for them, rose again the third day that they might have salvation and eternal life. And so the kids that come here, they're going to make a decision for Christ earlier in life than adults. Why? Because throughout our Sunday school system, and I thank the Lord for this, we tried to put our best teachers and workers in those lower departments so that at an early age, our children can know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But for an adult, we have sometimes problems. I have a friend that lives in Hawaii, and I got a note from him yesterday. And while we were there on vacation, we were talking to him about being saved. And, you know, he had probably 1,000 questions he asked me every evening. He was a stranger. This was the first time I'd ever met him. But we would sit on a bench and out on the street there, and we'd visit together. And I asked him if he was a Christian, and he said, "No, I've never had Christ as my Savior." And so for the next few nights, every night at 7 o'clock, we sat on the bench together, and we talked about the Lord and talked about salvation. And I tell you, brother, Mr. Randy, he had 1,000 questions. 1,000 questions. And I told him, I said, "You know, Randy, you weren't privileged to be raised in the house of the Lord." He said, "No, I wasn't." He's a veterinarian. And he said, "No, my parents didn't take me to church. I didn't have any spiritual training at all." But before this thing was over and before we left, he said this. He said, "I'm thankful that you've taken time to talk to me and answer my questions." You see, this is the problems adults have. By nature, an adult is skeptic. And we are. We turn on the television and we watch the news, and we have a program comes on and a commercial. And did you notice everything is $19.95? How many of you ever noticed that? "And we're going to give you one free." How many remember that? And my wife said, "What are they thinking about?" I said, "I'm wondering what we're thinking about listening to them." But isn't that strange? And we say to ourselves, "Is this magnificent product worth $19.95? Chances are it's not. You say, "Well, why don't you buy one?" "Because I'm just too tight. I don't want to spend money for something." And you see, we're kind of skeptics. They're going to give me a free one. All I have to do is pay shipping. And then I found out from one of my friends one time, he said, "You know what the second one ships for? $19.95. Well, I don't know whether that's true or not. But a child might be a number of things, but very seldom is a child a skeptic. No, their little hearts have not been taught yet to question everything that happens in life. And they're wonderful about that. And so when we begin to think about them, they want to believe. They want to believe. They want what an adult tells them to be good. I thank the Lord for mothers and daddies that train their children and take time with them. We have two little boys that live across the street from us, and I was coming home from work the other evening, and it was hot, and he was coming home from school, and old Bob, he had his backpack on, and he was trudging on his way home. And I pulled up beside him, and I rolled the window down on the air-conditioned car, and I said, "Bob, you want a ride?" And he said, "No, thank you, Pastor Chick." He said, "I think I'll just walk on home." So I was talking to his mother and the next day, and I said, "Jennifer, I want to compliment you on the way you've taught Mr. Bob." And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "He was trudging home from school, and I stopped and I asked him if he wanted to ride. He was a gentleman, but you've taught him don't get in a car with somebody unless it's family. And she said, yes, sir. And she said, I hope that didn't offend you. I said, why am I complimenting you on what you've done here? We need to train our children, yes. And when we tell them something, don't do this because this might be injurious to you. She said, well, Reverend Chick, she said, I hope that you didn't think that we didn't have confidence in you. I said, absolutely not. But I thank the Lord that you're taking time to train your children in the right way. And so it's hard for an adult to accept simple truths, but a child will almost believe anything you tell him. I have a lot of fun with this. Mrs. Chick and I will be out shopping or out somewhere, and we'll see kids with their mothers and daddies. And I always tell our staff and everyone, don't talk to children unless their parents are with them, unless there's an adult with them. That's scary. We saw something happen the other day, and I'm sure if I hadn't stopped and watched, that there had been a calamity in the making because somebody was watching, and I'm sure he thought to himself, I'll scoop these little darlings up. But when he saw I was watching him, I wasn't watching the kids, I was watching him. And he decided I better get back in my car and get out of here. Listen to me. This is a crazy world we live in. And if we don't love and care for our children, who's going to care for them? So I always talk to these kids, whether we're being the grocery store or the supermarket, wherever we're at, and I tell them, are you married? 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Some in their early teens, and they'll look at their mother as if, this guy's nuts. And the mother will look at me and smile, or the dad will look at me and smile, and they said, no, I'm not married. I'm a kid. And I said, how old are you? Well, I'm 6 years old, I'm 7 years old, I'm 9 years old, I'm 5 years old. And you know what I say to him next? I got married when I was 6. My wife's always with me, and she was 30. That works out pretty good. And those little rascals will scratch their head and said, you got married when you were 6 years old? And I said, yeah. And then look up at their mother and dad, and mother and dad just smiling at them. And then I look at them again. I said, do you really believe I got married when I was 6 years old? And they'll give you a sweet smile and say, no. And then they'll go on with their parents and they'll say, he is nuts. But you know, some children actually believe it. But I make sure they understand that I wasn't 6 years old when I got married. You see, that's the way children are. They want to believe. And if something's good and something is acceptable and something that's true, sometimes adults will back off and say, I don't know. My friend Randy in Hawaii, he finally emailed me the other day and he said, you know, I've studied all the things that we've talked about. And he said, you know, Dr. Chick, he said, I've come to the realization that that there's no middle ground. He said, either a person accepts Jesus Christ as the personal Savior or they reject Him. Now, it's taken him, 2 months to finally come to the conclusion that he faces eternity and that he needs to face eternity with more than what he has. And what he needs is my wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let my Christ come into his heart. You see, he's beginning to see the necessity of it. But when you sit down and you talk to a child and you teach him that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and God the Father loves you, and God the Holy Spirit loves you, and Brother Chick loves you, and your Sunday school teacher loves you, and the people here at the church, they love you, and we want you in heaven, and we want you to know our wonderful Savior, and then you teach them about that wonderful Savior, how that He loved us and went to the cross for our sins and poured out His blood for our sins, and the third day rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And then you talk to them and teach them for a while, and then you give them the opportunity to make a decision. You say, well, what do you mean? I told this the other night, and you know, I thought it fits right here. Some Sunday mornings ago, one of us, a young men, must have been about 7, 8 years old, came forward, and one of the personal workers dealt with him and said, why did you come? And he said, well, I wanted to be saved. And he said, that's good. And so I talked to him for a few minutes, been for some time ago. Time gets away from Grandpa. And I said, well, that's great. I'm glad you want to be saved. I said, are you a sinner? You see, before a person can let Jesus Christ come into their heart, they have to know they need Him. Amen? And they need to know they need Him. And I never will forget the look on his face. He looked up and smiled so pleasantly, and he said, my sister is a sinner, but I'm not. Now that's putting it down there where the cookies are on the bottom shelf so everybody can get one. And you know, when you teach a child, and you don't have to be a theologian to teach a child, they know when they do wrong. When a baby bangs on the coffee table, the glass coffee table, bang, 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 and you say, no, no, don't do that. Bring their little hands up. You turn your back, and what do they do? And all the people said, amen. Then you have to go over. Well, they don't do this anymore. Go over them. No, no. I was 6 years old before I found out that my name wasn't No, No. Yeah. But when you tell a child, when you tell them things that are right, when you teach them things that are acceptable, they accept it. When you tell a child Jesus Christ loves you, they believe it. When I was 9 years old, I knew about Jesus at Christmas time and at Easter, but I didn't know that Jesus went to the cross for my sins. And when I finally got to come to Sunday school and church, and our Sunday school teacher taught it to me, and my pastor brought it to me, and he said, and you know, he did all of this for you. He loved you and gave himself for you that you might have eternal life. And brother, it wasn't too many Sundays until I said, if he loves me that much, then I need to love him back and become not only mom and dad's child, but I need to become a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I appreciate that. Because when I accept him at the age of 9, he still lives in my life. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, he didn't put an age limit on that. And one of the things that's been so glorious here at our church, all summer long and all spring and last winter and last fall, all of these months that have gone by, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've had children that have called on the name of the Lord and accepted Christ as their Savior. We've had older boys and girls that have come to the realization, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys and girls, that say, well, I need Christ in my life. And they've come and got saved. And then we've had the teenagers that have come and received Christ as their personal Savior. And then we've had young adults, young married couples that have come to the place where they saw their need for Christ and they wanted to start their family upon the foundation of knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then we've had middle-aged folks come and receive Christ. And a few weeks ago, we had the privilege of seeing some that were in their 80s that had received Christ as their personal Savior. You see, God doesn't put an age limit on salvation. God doesn't say only a certain few can be saved. He said, for whosoever will may come. Whether you be a child, whether you be a teenager, whether you be an adult, whether you be a grandpa or grandma, you see, God did all this for us. Now, my younger sisters, they accepted Christ earlier in their lives than I did. You know why? Because they were in church before I was. And they made their decision for Christ. And today, they're all serving the Lord. They're all still on the soldiering for Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that fantastic? One of the greatest joys that I have as a believer is at night when I go and pillow my head. I know that if something happens, and boy, we look at the East Coast and they've had everything, haven't they? And bless their hearts, they've been through so much. And as I said this morning in worship service, that one lady commentary made her commentary saying, well, we've had an earthquake and we had a hurricane and we've had a flood and we've had tornadoes. And she looked up at the camera and she said, you know, I think somebody's trying to tell us something. But you know, God not only gets our attention that way, but he'd also like to get it another way. He'd like for you to know that everything's in his hands and he's always going to do right. And the thing that he's more concerned about than anything else is that each person on this earth, 6.3 billion of people on this earth, might have the privilege of having Jesus Christ in their heart. You know, we're very fortunate here in America. We have the gospel being preached. Now, the third thing that I think is so important and really separates the adults from the children is, you know, adults think that you never get something for nothing. I'm going to talk to the adults for just a minute. How many of you adults have ever received a gift? I feel sorry for some of you. You didn't get anything. Come see me after church and I'll give you a cough drop. I want you to have something. Yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this time, but how many of us that raised our hands, and I have mine up, how many of us, when somebody gave us a gift, we said to ourselves, well, that sure is a nice gift. I wonder what they want. Or why did they give me this? There must be some reason they gave me this gift. I don't understand why they would. Did you ever stop to think they like you? Did you ever stop to think maybe they love you? Did you ever stop and think that they did it because you're a blessing to them? Not us adults. I got to figure this thing out. Why did they give me this? Why in the world were they so good to me? I guess I'll have to give something back. And so we go to Wally World. Or I like to go to the shops where they, what are they called? Where they're already used but they're like brand new. Thrift shops. You're looking at one of the original thrift shoppers. And I think, I'll go in there and I'll find something and I'll give them back a gift. And so you buy something and you give something back to them, and then they go, uh-oh, got a problem here. Why did they give me a gift? Well, I gave them a gift. I didn't expect them to give me a gift. There must be a motive behind this. And all the people said, oh, me. You see, adults were skeptics. You can't get something for nothing. But I want to tell you this right now. When a gift is given to you and you have to earn it, it's no more a gift anymore. It ceases to be a gift. And you see, that's why adults, when it comes to salvation, that's why they're so careful. Well, you mean to tell me? My friend Randy told me. He said, you mean to tell me that God loved me even though I've been a rascal? And I said, yeah. He said, Dr. Chick, why does he love me? He said, I've watched you and Mrs. Chick and everybody you see. You act like you love them. And I said, I do. He said, but you don't even know them. I said, yes, but I know the God that loves them. And if God loves them, then I need to love them. And all the people said, yeah. You see, you're catching up now. That's good. I like for you to get with me once in a while. He asked a question that I did not have an answer for. An adult, he's a doctor, a veterinarian, well-schooled, a brilliant mind, friendly, but lost as a ball in the weed patch. And he said to me, I don't understand why God's willing to give me heaven. And he looked at me and he said, why? I said, you know all these questions you asked me over these few nights? Yes. Randy, this is the first question that I don't have an answer for. I don't even know why God loved me enough to give his son for my sins, and to let him die on the cross and be buried and be resurrected the third day, that I could have eternal life, that God could pull the stinger of death out of my life and give me eternal joy. I said, you know, Randy, I really don't know how God could love us that much, but he does. And I've seen him show that love thousands of times since I've become a Christian. How that God showed his love to me. And Randy, I don't understand it, but I'm thankful for it. I appreciate it. Somebody gave me a sack of homegrown apples today. You want me to be honest with you? I'm going to be. I was sitting in my desk and I thought, now, why did they give me those apples? And I thought for a few minutes, and I said, hey, dummy, they gave them to you because they wanted to. I didn't even know they had any. And so I said to myself, you're a skeptic. You know what I did? I called for a knife. My wife says, we'll make an apple cake. Forget the apple cake. Whoever gave those to me, I'll get some more. You didn't hear what I said. I said, I'll get some more. And I peeled that apple, and I took that knife and cut it up, and I put it in my mouth, and it was tart and sweet and delicious. And if I hadn't had a Kleenex,
You know, I'd be kind of like a squirrel. It would have been running down both sides of the juices. I don't know why they gave me those apples, but I want you to know I'm so glad they did. And I don't know why. God loved me so much that He gave His Son. I've got two sons. I wouldn't give either one of them for the sins of the world. But my God loved me that much that He gave His Son for my sins. You know what the beautiful part is in closing? You know what it is? Jesus said, "Father, I'll be glad to pay for T.A. Chick's sins and for Regan's and for Michael's and for Farrell and for that Randy and for that Michael and for that Dan and for that Kelly and for that Marvin and right on down the list." He said, "I'll pay for their sins." Why? Because for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's that word again, anybody and everybody, whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved, have heaven. You know, many of these children that are being baptized tonight, and all of them that have been baptized, and all the young adults and all the adults that are going to follow their Lord in baptism tonight, they might not completely understand why Christ loved them. But you know what they said? If He loves me, I'll accept Him. And for everyone here tonight that's a Christian, that have been saved and you followed your Lord in baptism, your baptism, not your salvation. We'll talk about that in just a few seconds. But you did it because you found out that Jesus loves you. I've never met one person, and I've been a preacher for now 50 years. I've never met one person that ever came up to me and said, "Pastor Chick or Brother Chick, I'm sorry that I let Jesus come into my heart." Every person that I've met since I was 9 years old that accepted Christ have always said, "I'm so glad that Christ lives in my heart and in my lives." And you know, tonight, whether you be 5, 6, 7, how old you are, whatever your age is, God wants you in heaven. God wants you to have eternal life. But even more than that, God wants you to have a sweet day-by-day life to live here on this earth. You know, we see some terrible things, don't we, folks? And our world's really confusing now, isn't it? And we're having all kinds of tragedies. And somebody said the other day on the news, they said in less than a half a day, 3,000 and 4,000 children disappear in the United States alone, never ever to be found again. And that makes my heart sick. But I'll tell you what, even in spite of all the garbage and ugliness and hatefulness that's out there in that world, all that ungodliness, it's so refreshing to see that in spite of all that, God loves us. Shall we stand?